Erica Kilmecki.
Yes.
Author, photographer, and editor and founder of the Seattle Backpackers Magazine.
I'm one of the officers.
One of the officers? Is that a founder?
Technically, yeah.
So why'd you correct me?
I hate to take.
You're wrong, Silas.
Black and a half.
I like it.
Chris and I entered a contest to try to win a trip to India with a couple of the personalities that were going.
Oh.
So we had to do a video of who we were and why we were the ones that deserved to go. And so we did our little spiel and we took second place.
Oh, what?
Okay, so the people that won were two teachers that teach in the largest demographically diverse school in probably the nation.
Oh,
you know?
Well, they shouldn't have got it then because they've already worked with everybody.
You know, they can bring their stuff back though. And, you know, I totally understand why they won. But one of the gals that's going was like, I really wanted the second team to win. And I didn't know it was us at the time. Yeah. I'm just listening to them on the radio. So I typed back to the guy, said, I really appreciated the contest. I thought it was great. And it would really make my day if she was talking about us. And he wrote back to me. He goes, well, actually, she was talking about you. You guys were the runners up.
Oh,
so why don't
man.
You come in and backstage? And so they want us to be on the morning that they actually send everybody off.
I think me and Silas might try out for Amazing Race. Awesome.
You're a slut. You said you'd go do it with everybody.
Well, I was just
these are all sound great.
Yeah, so, like, I posted it yesterday, and I was just like, I do stuff to, like, watch people compete for my love. It's awesome.
Oh,
I'm like,
nice.
Yes!
Boy, nice. Someone had some low self-esteem yesterday.
Exactly. I was like, I'm having a bad
someone
day.
Someone had a cold shower.
Well, let's see who
in the
loves
mirror.
Me. Yeah.
Aww,
like,
nice.
Oh, I better find out if people like me. Who wants to be Amazing Race?
It was
Everybody's
great.
Everybody's like, yeah, I want to be. I love Manny.
And I was like, this is wonderful.
Oh, I'm really nervous in front of a microphone, just so you guys both know.
We're going to edit it. So.
Are you for sure?
Yeah, totally,
oh,
yeah.
God. Did you edit the first one?
He did.
That would be...
Silas edited it.
We're going to edit it. We're going to edit it. Yeah.
I just provide
Silas doesn't like to edit that much. That's why Manny's not allowed to touch his microphone
exactly.
anymore. Exactly. Like...
I just stand here like Ricky Bobby. I'm like...
Okay, so I do have a short enough attention span that I may take notes while you guys are going on about something just so I don't forget to say the last thing I was talking about. And then I spin up into this circle of, I miss while I was writing and not listening?
Yeah, I'm total ADD like that.
Well, that's why I normally wouldn't
That's why he won't let
notes.
Me touch my phone.
Right.
Yep.
It's always...
Always on the damn phone.
But I did show him... I showed him the Chasing Ice trailer.
Yeah.
You saw that last night?
Yeah. And it was my second time seeing it. They actually gave me a preview disc because I'm media, technically. So I stood up and said, I'm interested. And they said, let me send you a disc to preview so you can review it. And I reviewed it. And then, yeah, they let me.
So you're media for the Seattle Backpacker?
Yep.
Magazine? So can you get to, like if Obama was here, can you get a press thing?
Probably not.
To talk about environmental? Like, those environmentalists, Seattle Backpackers want to know President Obama.
Yeah.
No, we generally have to do the smaller, more grassroots type stuff that pertains directly to us. But
why? Like, is that a... I mean, can you apply for the credentials because you're...
I don't know how... I'm really am bad at knowing how that kind of press gets a hold of our kind of press to
so
mix.
So how did you get your press?
Are we
I mean, how did
now?
You get this... your... I've been recording.
Oh,
that's what I figured.
How did you get your press? I mean, how did they give you to say, well, you're media for the Chasing?
I say that I'm media. So we, okay.
Do you wear a badge?
Well,
do they give you?
Let's be real first. That was all special effects. I'm a black Republican. There's no such thing as global warming. And, no, I'm just kidding.
That's how most people start talking
right?
about
Isn't
this,
that
by
crazy?
The way. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's nuts to me. That drives me insane.
A third of the people that I've said, I'm going to go see this movie too, said, oh, well, you know there's no such thing as global warming. And
they, really?
Because of the people that I'm talking to, they're all totally kidding, but they know that that's out there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just a nightmare. I mean, the people are probably watching that and saying, oh, that's special effects. And this is, you know what I mean? Like, oh, it's.
It is such a beautiful film. I'm just going to – I'm not getting paid to say this, but I'm just totally going to tout the film for a minute because it's grassroots. It's beautiful. I'm a photographer. The guy's a National Geographic photographer. He spent 5 years in the field in just hideous places to be, like the Arctic in winter, and took this lovely video and photos, and they've put it together into a story that is moving. Even people – I have friends who went with me last night who do not believe that – that climate change has to do with people at all. And they came out of the movie going, oh my gosh, everybody has to see that.
Right.
So that was a great barometer for me.
That's amazing.
How many movies have to come out
before
about global warming?
Yeah, before and people take it serious.
Inconvenient Truth, and then
how
many facts?
K1.
Like,
that's wild to me, though, that like nobody, like, I mean, there's a lot of people in the middle of America that just like, oh, that's not real. It's just insane to me. It's like, I don't know. It's like you can hold up facts in front of their face, and it's just a nightmare.
I just don't get, like, what is the sudden, like, the idea to go, no, it's not true. Instead of really, is that true? Well, why do we think it's true?
Because it affects...
Because if you say, why is it really true? Then you go, oh, well, if you look at all these, it's like, oh, shoot. Well, that seems like it's true.
Well, the people that are saying it's not happening or people aren't causing it have a bottom line that it's going to affect. I mean, they're going to have to change something, right? Yeah.
My understanding is that there are now no scientists that are not on a payroll of a company.
It's crazy.
There's no scientists that don't say this is actually happening. Like, that there are none. There's no...
Yeah.
When people say, like, well, there's still studies and there's still people, like, no, nobody's even disputing it now in
and that's what the movie said last night. That's what they said in the documentary last night, was it used to be that everybody thought the scientists were arguing about this, and he says point blank, I am a scientist, let me tell you, no one's arguing about this in the scientific community anymore.
Yeah, right. This is just wild. I mean, but you got to realize it's coming from the same party that says, oh, the world will end when God wants it to end. I mean, it's, don't get me wrong, you know, I believe that there's something bigger than me, but I'm just like, well, you got to take responsibility in your own hands.
Right.
It's just a nightmare. Ugh.
It's only been, the last 7 years that they've finally, scientists quit saying that tobacco may or may not cause cancer.
Yeah, oh my.
Like, until finally they're like, okay, yeah, it causes cancer, but
mm-hmm.
okay, now just smoke anyway.
Yeah.
it causes cancer.
Totally. Yeah.
But it's your choice.
Exactly.
It's your choice now.
Ugh.
Like, yeah, so I've been watching, my family was environmentalists. Mm-hmm. I grew up with that idea, that acknowledgement. They weren't good environmentalists.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
was anybody in the 70s and 80s?
No.
Nobody was in the 70s.
Well, I can remember my dad, like, they're talking about, you know, he's an environmentalist, but they still, like, they need to get rid of the couch. They just put it out in the backyard and burned it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like,
throwing away computers.
I was like, and I asked him, hey, wasn't there a lot of plot? He's like, yeah. We weren't very good at thinking about that kind of stuff at the time. But
still buying styrofoam cups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, environment's important. But, like, they just didn't think about a bunch of stuff. And now, so I always grew up going to all these, like in Boston, the Boston Science Museum. So I'd watch all these IMAX films.
Mm-hmm.
And back then they were always talking about all the different changes in the environment. And so, like, I grew up thinking, well, everybody knows this is a fact.
Yeah.
And this is true. And then all of a sudden, to find out as you get older, like, there's people arguing about this.
It's wild.
For no benefit, really, of... There's no benefit.
Yeah.
Well, there's people on both sides that benefit depending on which way the coin is spun.
Immediately.
So,
but even, like, at least 4 years ago, I think, like, McCain, because I think he was still sane at that point. And he said...
Yeah.
But he was saying, I thought, you know, regardless of what you thought, you think the reason is, it's happening, so we kind of have to work on it.
Yeah.
So the party was at least at that point, to where a couple months ago, you know, the nominee of the said, made fun of it. And it was like, what?
Yeah.
Wait, we're back there again?
It's crazy. It's, that party's become so polar. It's just like, ugh.
I think everybody's polar.
Yeah.
I'm just really sad at how polar everything is.
It is. No middle ground.
Let me ask you. So the election happened last week.
Yes.
Do you think Facebook has always been crazy, or has it brought the extra crazy out on people?
I think it's brought the extra crazy out. I have a coworker who said that her, like, stepmom, who she, like, never talks to, and she, like, my coworker has never addressed any of her political opinion, said her stepmom dropped the N-word on, like, she's like, I can't believe you voted for him and everything, and she just deleted her. She was like, I'll never talk to that lady again. And I was like, dang, that's how crazy it is. I mean, like,
don't get me wrong, when we lost to Bush, I wasn't like, all right, I'm going to leave this country. You know, it's like, it's a lot.
You're saying, I can't believe that cracker got into office.
Yeah, exactly, right? I'm pretty sure I said that probably in a bit or something. Right. But it was like, it's just nuts to me. People want to leave, you know, they want, how many states want to just get out now?
Well, most of them there's somebody that's filed something. Yeah. But Texas is at 100,000 now that have signed a signature to leave.
I hope Mexico takes them over and they ask for help. I'm just like, you know, like, really? It's insane to me.
I think Facebook definitely exacerbates it, though. I mean, I love that people can hide behind their little avatars and say these lovely things in the chat groups. Exactly. And you're not a real person out there, and you can just totally be
abusive. But you're
a real
person on Facebook. I mean, everyone knows who you are.
You are, unless you get into one of those big, major I-like groups and, you know, the ones that spin everything off that you're sharing, you know.
I love people that join, I joined the Bill Maher's unofficial page.
Yeah, yeah.
But that you get people who are they're trolling. Like, just the idea that you're going to go on there as a Republican and go... And just to go and argue, like, you have no, like, we're fans of this, and sure, this is my, you know, this is my MSNBC. I'm listening, and I realize I'm going to the choir.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the preacher. I'm coming in here to listen to it.
Right.
Why are you jumping in and just saying, you all? Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine if I ran into your church, Manny, and just started saying, God isn't real.
Yeah, exactly.
God isn't real. No, don't do this. This is not the truth. I have a real book for you. Let me show you this.
Exactly. It's an encyclopedia. Here you go. Like,
that wouldn't go over. Nobody would expect you to go into an actual church and do that.
Exactly.
Like, but they go into
these
groups and just to start arguments.
Oh, it's bad.
And then,
you ever read Yahoo News? It's the same thing. It's like there's people that just write some of the most racist
comments.
Yeah, I'm just like, ugh.
Comments kind of, for me, prove that people are awful. In the world. Like, nothing nice is said.
Yeah, Hannibal Buress has a great joke about that. What? You ever hear the one about when he's on YouPorn and he's just watching, like, interracial
porn? people. Yeah, you can be filled with watching porn and watching porn and hate at the same time.
Yeah, he was like, he was like, your hate overtrumps your horniness. That's crazy. I'm like, all right, fair enough.
Wow, did you guys lose any Facebook friends at the election? You're really good, so you don't...
I don't... I mean, you know what's funny? I was tweeting the hell out of that, though. I was
on
Romney.
Yeah.
Yeah, left and right. But it's like, nobody deleted me, because I don't think anybody takes me serious, so it's
you follow any followers or anything?
Let's see. What do you mean as far as...
Or do you know how many followers you had before? No,
I didn't really pay attention. Okay. I still think I have the same amount of friends on Facebook.
I don't think I lost anybody, but I purposely sit in the middle. I mean, I'm not, here I am media. I don't want to stir the water.
Yeah.
Why would I want to stir my friends up against each other is the way I see it. And I have tons of friends that are very polar and put really, really far.
Are there any backpackers for Romney shirts out there?
I know.
I guess a lot of people. Yeah.
Not that I've seen. But
it's wild though. I mean, I was on there and, you know, I have Mormon friends. I have friends from all walks of life. And it's just like, dude, it's wild. There was this girl that I was like, secretly in love with in high school. We were best friends. You know, when I liked her, she didn't like me when, you know, back and forth. But I read on her Facebook, she was like, oh my God, I can't believe we passed gay marriage. I won't be sending my kids to public school. And we were just like, what? We were like, is this the same person? I was like, holy shit. That was just, it was wild to me. I couldn't believe that anybody.
Gay marriage affects my public school.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, how much hate do you have in you? I mean, what matters? Like, it blew my mind. I was like, this isn't real.
It brings to light the tiny boxes that some people live
does.
In, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the thing it's shown me.
But you also don't, like, you Twitter,
mm-hmm.
but you don't get in discussions on your Facebook.
Not really. Not at all. No.
Like, where I think, I grew up where my mom was, you know, like, physically abused by my stepfather and stuff, so I grew up in that environment.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, it's like I want to bring that to my Facebook or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just bringing in that. Because the moment, like, I'll stay on my Facebook, and I'll put some things, I'll try to incite people.
Yeah.
But But when they do, like when the libertarian comes on and comments on mine, I was like, you know what? You're on my turf right now.
Exactly.
I will say anything I want. Get off. I'm fine with you unfriending me. I won't unfriend you because mm-hmm. I want you to do it first.
Exactly.
And I definitely lost one person. Mm-hmm. I was surprised someone else. I was really pushing her buttons. I thought she would. But she stayed on. I was like, no.
Challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
See? I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Really?
She's like, Silas is going to be somebody. I don't want to lose that friend.
Like, I posted up that like there's a stat about the number of percentage of people that races that receive food stamps,
mm-hmm.
and there's black, Hispanic, mm-hmm. and white up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like this doesn't equal 100%, so it's not clearly this isn't accurate. And I said, well, there's more than three races, so
yeah.
I think that might be why. If you weren't aware,
exactly.
Like I should have put the sarcastic.
Yeah.
You know, like emotions on there so that she caught that. Because later on she's like, I know there's more than three races. I'm just like, well, that's just a logical reason why it doesn't add
exactly.
up.
Wait, there's a sarcastic emoticon?
I
need to know about
it. I always put it like HTML, you know, like put sarcastic and
okay.
end sarcasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. That's necessary. That is, yeah.
But, like, I tried to push her button and she didn't unfriend me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know what's kill? It's weird. People. Like, I had the biggest crush on this girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was a senior when I was a freshman in high school.
All right.
I had a thing for her the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
She still doesn't know.
She might
but
now.
But she's turned out to be, like, now she's older, she mm-hmm. is a very conservative Republican, like, in, I don't know if she's in New Hampshire, whatever, Mike.
Yeah.
So completely against my values of stuff, and
yeah.
I'm just like, I had a crush on you.
Right.
You're tainting it right now. Right. Like,
mm-hmm.
what happened?
Well, you both shifted just in opposite directions.
No, but I mean, yeah. for all I know at the time, you know, like back then in high school, you liked somebody because they sat next to you.
Yeah.
Isn't
or
that
they
cool?
They gave you a pencil.
Isn't that so awesome?
That was enough to marry somebody.
Yeah. So I have a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old, two boys,
mm-hmm.
and I'm seeing this now. It's so awesome when they come to you with these super simple, boiled down thoughts that you have every day, but you have to go through the net of all the braiding of you know, how
there.
People think and
mm-hmm.
well, how's this going to affect so-and-so if I say it this way? And kids will just say it. And it's the most awesome thing to be removed from that net that we
right.
have to swim through with everything that we do now.
That's awesome. Like, gosh, I just watching a child's mind, just like the wheels turn. It's insane. Like my nephew, he's just insane. I'm like, how did you arrive at that thought? And it was like, this kid is perverted beyond belief. I was like, I was there too. But I'm like, dang, I don't remember being that perverted. And I'm like, he's obsessed with boobs right now, and he's only like 6. I mean, I guess I was that way. I don't know.
Well, like, wow. I just realized a high school sweethearts from my high school.
Mm-hmm.
They had been married for about 20 years, probably
mm-hmm.
18, 20 years. I just looked on one girl's Facebook, because she had said something that was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a second, what about? And then I went on, and her husband's seen someone else now, so I think
wow.
they got divorced. And I was like, what a waste. You've been together 18 years.
Yeah,
your whole prime. You went, and then
mm-hmm.
you're jumping now? Someone now the guy jumped to someone else? Who was the same age? He didn't like even like leave her for a young woman.
Dang, he didn't even upgrade?
No.
Oh, jeez.
Like, what a waste.
You got to at least upgrade. You know?
Right.
It's like, yeah, you get the newer
like,
model
the
of the car,
age.
But you know.
That's what I did.
No offense.
I did. I got divorced.
Yeah.
She left me, and then I I got an 85 Caucasian.
Nailed it. Check out the rims on
very
this.
Nice.
Oh.
Very nice.
Does that, the D's were optional, but, you know.
Hilarious.
But I realize that I cause incitement on
mm-hmm.
Facebook, but I'm sometimes okay with that because
yeah.
There are moments when people, I would think that people might think, well, why are you so angry? And I'm like, why are you so not angry?
Yeah.
Like, I got, this is great. I don't know if you saw this one. Because I got a couple comments on it, but
mm-hmm.
nobody liked the post. Like, two people liked it. Like, it was a scary post that I wrote.
What did it say?
I said, this was after the election.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're not allowed to say nigger anymore, so they say socialist.
Oh, that's I would have liked that.
See, and here's the thing: I talked to somebody later about that because I was really so frustrated listening to all these people talking about how socialist he is, and there's a bunch of videos out of people talking, and I'm like, my whole time I'm looking at it and going like, you just want to say nigger.
Exactly.
Or you want to say it's because he's black. I mean, mm-hmm. that's why you don't like him. You're not listing any actual reasons on liking him or, mm-hmm. or disliking the man.
Yeah.
You're not saying, well, he believes in big government, and I'm really a small government. I think that we have more effective solutions when, you know, I think the money can go from, I mean, if they believe in the trickle down theory, or,
right?
They don't want,
which has never
worked. They right, but they don't want a government involved in these decisions. They think it's more of a state thing, or maybe the, you know, a personal decision. But mm-hmm. they don't say any of that. They say he's a socialist,
right?
And I've been upset thinking about FDR, like, who instituted the Social Security Act and Medicare. Nobody called him a socialist,
right?
Was it because he was white or because he was a cripple? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I mean. You know,
he wasn't a cripple.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I hate to make, you know, anything off of race, but that's why I honestly think Romney started off at such a high percentage was because, like, nobody knew anything about him. He was just the white guy, you know? Everybody, yeah. And then these other people were like, well, we definitely don't want to vote for the black guy.
again. Yeah, we already did that. Yeah, I already showed I'm not racist. I don't have to vote again, right?
Exactly.
But so. I did that. Nobody liked it. I was talking to somebody after, and they're mm-hmm. like, you know, I totally agreed with you, but I was afraid to like it.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't
want to lose. It was so exciting, like, whoa, oh my god.
Well, you know what Facebook does now? It tells everybody when you like somebody's post, oh, right. And that's scary, yeah. You know?
And people, and so oh, it's like, wild. He agreed yeah. with me, but he was like, yeah, no, I was like, no one's going to like the N-word on everything.
Yeah.
Especially the people that don't know that I'm black.
Exactly, right.
Like, oh, he just said that.
I thought he was Hispanic.
Can I like the first half? I know.
It's crazy, though. I mean, you could see what everybody, I mean, for the most part, whoever likes, you know, Romney's page, Ryan's page, or, you know, whoever liked Obama's page, you could see that. And I was looking down. I was like, all right, not going to be friends with them.
Or what about the people that somebody went on there and said, I did not like Paul Ryan's page, and Facebook is saying
yep.
that I did.
Yep.
What?
To telling people, like,
I had friends who had that happen to them, too.
They're like, wow. I did not like.
He bought Facebook.
No, I had friends who said that about Romney. They were so pissed. Just... That's I did crazy. Not like Romney's page. He's a bastard.
Yeah.
On and on and on. And
so, and I wonder if that was did that happen to people with Obama?
Oh, God. Well, I hope not.
I was like, wow. They would have been like, you liked his page?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Did anyone try to run over, like, run over their husband when they
oh,
voted
did you hear
for
about
Bush
that?
Instead of Al Gore?
Yeah,
did you hear about that? I did not hear about that.
But this was actually someone who, her husband, was it her husband?
Her husband voted for Obama, right?
Yeah.
And she voted for Romney. And she was mad that he didn't vote for Romney, so she tried to run him over with a car. Yeah.
So she's obviously in her right mind.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I actually thought it was reversed. I thought it was actually someone trying to run over someone who voted for Romney. Instead, because she needed the health care or something.
Oh, yeah, or something like that.
But it was, yeah, people are crazy.
Nuts, right?
Let me show you why I need that health care.
Yeah.
So, okay.
That is wild.
And so now I'm working again, so I'm not going to be posting so inflammatory on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Do they check your Facebook?
No.
Okay.
Well, I have a lockdown.
Oh, okay.
To only friends. There is the chance if there are friends of friends that
yeah.
then they'd be able to see something.
I think mine's public.
But I learned to lock that down. That's why actually I'm careful what I post on Twitter because
yeah.
I have that open.
Oh, good call.
So that way I'm doing that because for writing jobs I've mm-hmm. learned that you'd actually need some Twitter followers.
Interesting.
You know, it's easier to get some article
okay.
things if you have Twitter followers. So
true.
I'm trying to build up my Twitter followers.
There you
it's
go.
Hard when I post little controversial things, but I'm gonna.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just gonna be careful. I'm
I
not
think
gonna
it's
drop
good.
The N-word yeah. on Twitter because they can't go look at the pictures and see my Rastafarian mother.
Yeah.
On Twitter,
exactly.
Before they yell at me for that, and then so I'm like, okay,
yeah.
I'll the milder stuff I'll put on Twitter, things that are just comedy related, I'll do on that.
Yeah.
And but, I love your you test the waters. On Facebook all the
oh,
time, and I
time.
Love that.
What for the comment?
You just put a line out like this might work for my stand. I can totally
yeah,
tell
oh, yeah.
which
yeah,
ones
yeah.
are like this would work for stand.
It's open mic for everybody.
Oh, seriously,
yeah,
that's the
totally
best place.
Is.
Like if you look over all of your tweets, you could find like so many good jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to start doing that more.
What some people don't catch, though, is like somebody said to me, "Dude, you've posted lots." I'm like, "You have no idea how many things come on my Facebook feed."
Yeah.
From other comics.
Oh, I bet.
Mm-hmm. I got 112 comic friends.
Oh, God.
So that's most of what I see is all these jokes that people are putting or that
yeah.
they're sharing. So it's just all my other friends see all my jokes, and then all your friends would see your jokes. So all these different worlds see these different people's jokes that are always going.
Exactly.
And they think, and if somebody has like, they only have like 100 Facebook friends.
Yeah.
But then I posted 5 things in an hour. They're like, you're filling up my feed. I'm like, well, you need more friends.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
It's not my fault that you're not popular.
Yeah, if you got 36 friends, don't blame me. Because you're just like, so.
You know, you can schedule those now.
Can you?
Oh, well, yeah. Nice. You can schedule your posts.
Sweet. And
I think you can actually do it direct through Facebook now. Awesome. Though I have to say I don't manage my magazine social media. I know at least for the business page side.
Thing. Well, maybe the business page you can.
I think that's actually a good transition. So tell us a little bit about the magazine for the people listening out there who don't know.
Okay. Seattle Backpackers Magazine is an online-only resource for all people who love outdoor adventure. It's backpackers, hikers, backcountry skiers we've got, climbers,
nice.
Mountaineers.
That goes out to all you people that know me on
Facebook.
Yeah, all
Facebook. The black,
people, all the black
like... people
who like hiking.
I know.
No, there's a... I would say I think most of my Facebook friends are white. Yeah. I feel safe on there.
It's a real shocker.
Yeah. But anyways.
We're really shocked about that, man.
There's so many of them that love hiking, and there's so many people in California who love hiking and skiing. So make sure you check that out. So,
What's the site?
Yeah, what's
Seattle BackpackersMagazine.com.
With an S.
With an S.
Backpackers. Do you have Backpacker.com?
No.
Somebody own that?
That yes.
Oh.
That would be Punks, yeah. One of the largest publication houses.
So you put an S on it and you got...
Nice.
There's not Seattle Backpacker. There's Backpackers Magazine.
Oh, Backpacker.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, Backpacker.
Do you go hiking, Silas?
Oh, do I look like I go hiking?
Well, I've been a few times. It just doesn't seem safe. I know, yeah. Just,
I have breasts right now, so I don't think...
I don't feel healthy. I'd be the only person smoking a cigarette. I don't even smoke, but I would
Manny,
smoke a cigarette if I went hiking.
You went hiking? You go hiking?
Just whenever.
Just when you get your car broken into?
Yeah, that's right. The girlfriend took me on a hiking trip, and it was just... Every time, it's awful. Like, the last time my tire got shredded... Last time my window got punched out by somebody.
Yeah,
I was like,
actually happens a lot. One of our most recent articles actually was about how to avoid trailhead break-ins because, especially with everybody out of jobs, it's
people just don't drive a BMW.
Exactly, and actually that was one of the suggestions in the article was get a beater and take that to the trailhead.
I have a Honda Civic with a dent in it, so that clearly states I'm poor. Don't break my window.
Yeah,
so. I have a lot of nerve to. The one black man.
That's what I'm saying. They were waiting for me. They were like, hey, he doesn't look like he belongs here. And then I was like, oh my God, here we go.
Well, I don't hike now.
Mm-hmm.
I have shoes. But I do.
I don't. I need some.
I grew up on a mountain. I spent years living on Mount Lassen.
Where?
In a log cabin. In a little Shingletown. It's called Shingletown.
Okay.
Wow.
It's so small.
Easily.
So we weren't very far from Mount Lassen Park. State Park. In California?
Nope. Don't know California.
You know Mount Shasta?
Yep.
You know Mount Shasta?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the other, it's like the sister mountain to it.
Okay.
The Mount Lassen. Still with you. I climbed up. So we would go hiking on that a bunch. And then I would go outdoors. You know, I was young doing it. I've gotten stranded in blizzards and such.
Ooh.
Yeah, I did.
That's crazy.
Going jeeping and did a lot of outdoor activity.
Wait, so you got stranded in the Jeep before you even got to the hiking part?
Oh, I mean, no, we've been hiking, but then they're like going jeeping. We would go out jeeping as separate incidents. We got stuck because they would get stuck and then winch up to a tree and pull it out and kept doing that until they got to one they couldn't get out of. And then a blizzard came in and we're walking back miles because we're on all these old lumber trails.
Yeah.
And these are all a bunch of people, a bunch of white hippies with no jobs that just decided to go off in the middle of the afternoon and not tell their wives.
Yeah.
So we're stranded. We're in the lumber. And it's getting late. You know, hours and hours. And
guys are the ones that we make fun of.
Pre-cell phones. They had no idea the weather was going to come. It wasn't nowadays, It's like you actually had to get... We had one station you could get up there to get the weather.
Yeah.
Okay. If they bothered. But it was a nice sunny day. Like, hey, let's go in. And then all of a sudden, the snow came
Everybody is so friendly on trails. They'll come down. They're like, hey, how you doing? And then, you'll see one black person. He'll come down and he'll look at you. He's like, it's not safe up there. And he's just like, all right. Maybe we should turn back now.
You're killing me.
Yeah, he looks like his white girlfriend took him too. I was like, all right, fair enough.
It's not bad, though. My favorite part's when you get back to the car. That's always my favorite part of the hike. But sometimes, you know, the scenery's beautiful. I went...
Yeah.
We were hiking. It was, like, spring. We get up to the top, and there's, like, snow. And there's, like, I was like, this is unreal. You know, and just, like, people playing. And that's when I got back down to my car, and it was broken into. Like, that ruined an awesome trip.
But it was only broken into. I have friends who've come back from a three-day camping trip, and they had no car.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Just... not so fun. Yeah. But, you know, you just walked 20 miles.
Love
so
the outdoors.
You can walk some more, I guess.
Exactly, right? No reception.
Did you hear a friend of ours, Anthony Calderon, had his car stolen recently?
Are you serious?
Yes.
He has a crappy car. Who would want to steal that thing?
And this is what I told him. I said, Anthony, which is, it's doubly bad for him because he's Mexican, so it means he's homeless now, too.
God.
He said, shut up.
Did he at least have insurance on it?
He thinks he does, yeah, because he's still paying for it. Yeah, at the time.
It doesn't mean he'll get it back or anything. Replacement.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, well, they'll probably find it down the road.
Probably burn up or something.
What was I going to say? Mount Si? Mm-hmm. Is that nearby?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think I went to the top of Mount Si after my wife left.
Wait, you went to the top of Mount Si?
Maybe not.
Good for you, Silas.
is there a crystal something on Mount Si?
There's a little Mount Si.
Maybe you went to Little Mount Si.
I have to look it up.
Because you're still alive.
Okay, tell me this. How many hours did you hike to get to the top?
It was a couple
in the neighborhood of two or the neighborhood of five?
Like two, I think.
Little Mount Si.
Yeah, that was Little Mount Si.
Yeah. Okay. You made it seem like you had this adventurous movie trek to the top of the...
I'll have to look it up. I went up... Okay, I never go on hike. So I went with this couple to go hiking. It was also despite my ex-wife because she always wanted to go outdoors and... I was like, well, go. I can go. There's friends. You got friends, and she wouldn't go.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go do it. It's just, anyway, yeah. And then to the left, and I'm like, I'd go do it. So I got invited, so I went. Then I ran into a friend after left there who was shocked to see me at the top. I got there. and he told me later that he's like, that is not really a starter one that you did here.
Oh, maybe you were on Mount
Trail that I, because he said, it's like, yeah, I would never have brought you on this. And I was furious by the time I got up there, by the way, because I was like, because they're like, oh no, this is a good one. This is a good level. And they said that apparently so that I would feel great about accomplishing it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I was pissed about the lies because I didn't trust you the rest of the night.
Exactly.
Well, the bigger issue is if you got up to the top of Mount Si in 2 hours, you'd kick my ass.
No. Well, then it's probably
a little Mount Si.
Maybe it's even Mount Si.
That's pretty impressive.
What's the one that you go to? Well, I'm sure there's more.
K2 or K1.
Was it starts with like sounds like Rainier? No. I went. What are the little towns? What are the little towns on the way?
North Bend. Is the last one before the.
There was a great donut shop on the way. That was my whole point.
There
there's
you go.
A bakery in this little town. On the way there.
Are you going out I-90 or 2 or where were you?
I think we took 90. No, we didn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that there's a lot of mountains.
I gotta research my own story to keep my story straight. It's probably on my Facebook.
Probably.
Way over there.
Just accomplished.
But but you also, what did you do? You went to Nepal?
I did.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Okay.
For those of the dumb listeners out there, I'm just kidding. There's no dumb listeners. Can you tell them where Nepal is?
Nepal is...
Tell them they may where Nepal you. Is.
Very nice. Nepal is smashed between China and India. It's completely landlocked.
Silas.
And it's south of India. No, north of India and south of China.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this tiny little country that's... it has the highest mountains in the world in it.
Sweet.
So, yeah, it's a big draw and an amazing place. It's a developing country. So,
did you go up with a burro? Or?
I went up with yaks.
Yaks.
Wow.
I had yaks and Sherpas. Awesome. And, yeah, it was a fabulous experience. So, how did I get there? I was interviewing a local climbing celebrity for my magazine.
Nice.
And he happened to be a Sherpa from Nepal.
Wow.
Like a cultural Sherpa.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me his stories. And before he was done with the interview, he invited me to come to Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he was just being courteous.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. Like, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay, let's wrap up the interview. And he asked me again, and he kind of wouldn't let it go. And so I got home, and I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
And there was no way that we could make it a reality. My husband was unemployed at the time. We had two kids. It was one of those pipe dream things. Mm-hmm. And then somehow it magically happened. Wow. And like less than 2 months later, I was on a plane flying across the Pacific. And a couple of days later, I was in Kathmandu. And yeah, crazy, crazy story about getting to the base camp of Mount Everest.
That's awesome.
With famous musicians.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Look at that.
Wait, famous? Who were the famous? Did they play when they got to the top?
They were famous Nepali musicians. They were Nepali musicians.
Oh, okay. I was all thinking like Kings of Leon.
Like the top 40.
Oh, you know, I wish, but no. Bryan Adams had just gone to Nepal, and it was the first American musician that had been let into Nepal like ever since their kingdom crumbled. So,
wow.
Have they let other Americans in?
Well, the government's in transition, and so it's not necessarily a place where...
Yeah,
it would be easy to go. Yeah, they only have opened it up.
Then how'd you get there?
Well, it's opened up since then.
Oh, you went out after. Okay,
I went. Yeah, he was there right before us.
Mm. What kind of instruments do they play?
Guitars. And...
like regular guitar, or are they like?
What do you think, a ukulele or something?
I'm just wondering, like, sitars or are they?
No. I'm sure guitars. That some of their recorded instruments were things that I've never seen before. It was very Asian sounding music, a lot of it, but it was what you would hear at a dance club. It was poppy, dancey, DJ spinning type music. And because we're traveling along this road that doesn't have electricity, doesn't have any vehicles with wheels that go on it, we're carrying everything on our backs and yaks.
Wow.
They brought a DJ in it and most of their stuff recorded, mm-hmm. so that they could be standing up on stages singing to the backtracks.
Nice.
That was the best way to go. Yeah. And it was fabulous. I fell in love with the people. I fell in love with the music. It was an adventure.
How was the food?
Fabulous.
Nice.
Fabulous. If you like spicy food, I don't, it's like Indian food and Chinese food smashed together.
I lived with an Indian family for like 6 months, maybe. No, 3 months. My ass was on fire. So spicy. It was good. It was good. But
you shouldn't have dated Yogi.
Yeah, I shouldn't have dated Yogi Paliwal. He is a terrible human being. They would advise everybody to delete him off of Facebook if you're listening to this. Spicy.
And is that what your book is about?
Yeah, it is. So I'm a photographer first. So I went on the tour as the photojournalist for the team. The Sherpa is actually well known in the country. And so he not only has a following, but he did things like get us audience with the prime minister of the country.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it was a relatively high profile thing, and I got to take pictures of the whole thing. So my photos, I had to do something with them. I thought maybe I'll just do a photo book, but there were so many stories by the time I came back, and I'd been journaling and keeping notes and mm-hmm. even writing down pieces of conversation, that by the time I got back, there was too much that I had to get completely down before my memory failed and mm-hmm. they started fading away.
Yeah.
So I did. I sat down and I just cranked for 9 months and
wow.
ended up with a novel.
That is awesome.
So it's nonfiction.
It is nonfiction. Yep.
How do you pronounce that?
Song of Chamalungma.
Chamalungma.
Yep.
I like it. This is like, I love, and look at the pictures on the back.
The word actually means Mount Everest in the Sherpa language.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, our fact checker just got back to me. It was Lake Serene.
Oh.
Oh,
that's up north.
So yeah, I don't want.
And there is a fabulous bakery up there, and I'm not going to remember the name of it, but yeah.
Our fact checker's working on that. Fact checker's name is Dell.
There you go. Thank you, Dell.
You go, Dell.
And it has pictures. And it has pictures. I know.
There's pictures in there?
Yes, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, they're 80 pages of full color photos in there, and it was so hard to pick because I took over 6,000.
It's a little misleading, though. It says a musical journey along the Everest Highway. Like, you should have a CD.
That would be awesome.
In it, so we can listen along to the music.
You know what? I think it's perfect like it is.
I have an iPod dedicated just to Nepali music.
Nice.
I do. It's ridiculous, but I do.
You could sell CDs along with it. You could sing along with it.
You know, that was actually toyed with.
You could rap it.
That was there was one point where we were discussing that in the marketing phase.
On the way up to the journey.
Yep.
did you feel like you were climbing Mount Mordor at the time?
No, it wasn't scary at all.
Is Mordor scary?
A little.
Yeah. Like throne? Did you make at least one Tolkien joke when you were there?
No, it wasn't like that at
all. Nobody would understand it. They're like, what is she talking about?
One ring. Dude, I make jokes about climbing Mount Mordor when I'm at my friend's house in Seattle. Like, nice. It's a long stairs. Like, oh, phew. Like, climbing Mordor. Get me on a mountain.
No, because we really, truly, we got to 18,000 feet in the air, and you don't do that by playing it light and, you know, hitting your drinks every night.
Was it like, how cold was it up there?
It was probably 15 or 20 degrees up at the top, top night. Yeah, jeez. it was cold at night, but when you're that high up in the sky, there's less atmosphere, and so the temperature changes really, really fast.
Yeah.
And during the daytime, it was often 50 degrees.
Mm. That's not bad.
And it's really close to the equator, so it's about the same as Miami. So Everest gets really direct sun.
Yeah, yeah.
It was warm during the day, but really cold at night. It was amazing.
Nice.
And beautiful.
Oh, and 10% of the book is donated to the Seven Summits Foundation?
Yep.
Is that still true?
Yep. So the Seven Summits Foundation is the Sherpa that led us. World record holder guy.
Wow.
Yeah, he has an organization, and he's helping the people of his country, and that the people in that country just do that. Everybody has their own foundation and organization where they are doing what they can to help their own.
Wow, that's
it's a really nice philosophy.
They're like rappers.
Exactly.
Like rappers.
This goes out to all my kids.
Wow. I talked about my grandfather was a big hiker.
White grandpa or the black grandpa?
They're all white.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that. My bad. I have a half white.
Don't make it off.
Sorry, yeah.
No, the black grandpa in my family, Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
What do we call him? No, Granddaddy. We call that one.
Granddaddy. Oh, there you go.
They all get different names.
Granddaddy! In this.
Granddaddy. Granddaddy was a black man, alcoholic, liver. He was in Georgia. He's out there. He's in the Navy.
Oh, okay.
My other grandpa here, he climbed Mount McKinley when he was 50.
Wow.
Wow.
Like, he went up, yeah. When he died, he went into the hospital with, like, he had, like, pneumonia. And his oxygen was still at, like, 96%.
Really?
They're like, you should not have this much oxygen. They're like, he's been hiking his whole life.
Dang.
Little pneumonia is not going to take that away from him.
Yeah.
Happens.
And so actually, I had said then, I wanted to, after he had passed, I had made by the time I was 40, I wanted to do a climb. I was like, shaking your head.
No.
Not ready. But here's the thing. It was a few years ago, and then I was like, so I took the summer to start getting in shape.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I was like getting in shape, and then it was the next summer, which should have been this summer, I was going to start doing the hiking, but then I got married.
Puts a damper on everything.
It does. those damn women.
Exactly.
Just,
what do you want? You guys want everything.
Work things, and I don't know. And that was comedy. I made this thing that I'm going to do this, and I started doing comedy. And then it's like, oh, why don't I just...
It'll take up your whole life. Comedy and women.
I hike to the next bar every night. So is this your only book that you've written so far?
Yes and no.
Published?
Where can our readers pick it up?
Oh, well, yeah.
Or our listeners?
It's available two places.
Mm-hmm.
On my art website, which is frommyart.com. It can be ordered directly from me. And it's in one bookstore in Redmond called Soul Food Books, and they have about 10 copies left. I self-published it. I did not distribute through Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I did it differently than everybody else because once you see the pictures, there isn't a publisher that would touch and print a book with photos, this many color photos throughout. Nobody would touch it.
It's
even self-publishers didn't want to touch it. It was an endeavor. So I made it what I wanted, and it's only available a few places.
That is amazing. Make sure you check it
out. But can't you have it so that people could buy it through Amazon and have it shipped?
None of the printers that would set me up that way would handle, most of them do what's called a print-on-demand service.
Oh, is that a print-on-demand that you have to do still with it, or do you have like 80 copies?
No, I did a full print run of it, so I ordered a couple hundred copies and prepaid for them.
Okay. Do you still have them?
I've sold most of them.
Well, I'm just wondering if you could put it on Amazon now. Like,
there's a big thing going on with like Amazon and like a lot of
ship it from
writers,
house.
Though, right?
I'm sure I could look into it. I honestly haven't looked into it. I really am not into being a store.
You know, there's a lot of people who are like, a lot of out. There's a lot of people who've written books who are like protesting. They don't want to work with Amazon anymore.
Yeah, I was reading, yeah, so. it's really shifting fast, and I just haven't gone to the trouble to get my feet that wet in it.
I mean, so primarily what you do then? I mean, you do the you run Seattle Backpacker Magazine.
I do,
and photography, right?
Yep, I'm a photographer first, actually, and then Seattle Backpackers Magazine has been around for around for about 6 years, but we've been pushing it hard out for about a little over 2 years.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm a traveler. What else do I do? I'm a mommy.
There you go. So, wait, let me ask you this real quick. Where's been your favorite place to travel besides Nepal?
Besides Nepal, so you have to qualify that because I will tell you Nepal. You know, I had a really great trip to Newfoundland.
Oh, okay.
Back a couple decades ago, I guess it was now.
Nice.
But drove the entire length of Newfoundland from the bottom to the top and ended up where Leif Erikson and Eric the Red kind of founded this civilization. They were the first Europeans to land on the continent.
What took you out there? Were you doing photography for...
Oh, gosh. No, technically what took me out there was my then husband was Danish, and he wanted to see where the Danes landed in the new land.
Man.
So, yeah, hell of a reason to drive up there. Exactly. But it was a cool trip. It was a really cool trip. We just about hit moose, and we had some really great hikes.
Oh, moose are violent, right?
They're just huge. You never want to hit one with a car because they're high enough and heavy enough in their body that your car's nose goes along their knees, and you take their feet underneath them, and the whole body, this 1,200-pound moose, comes right through your windshield at you. You don't ever want to hit a moose on the road.
Yeah.
Deer, nothing compared to a moose.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
That you can read about in the magazine, so make sure you check it out.
After my first wedding, I went to Montana, Glacier Park, for summer.
Good for you. It's not going to be there very much longer.
I know. Yeah. I heard about what the glaciers melting and everything. Well, the park will still be there. It just won't be a glacier park.
Yeah.
It'll just be...
Glacierless.
Glacierless park.
National park.
And they say there's no global warming.
Right. So they when I went there, it was... I mean, there's a lot of things you can hit there, including bear. No, be very careful. By the way, in Montana, if you hit a cow... You have to pay for the cow.
Oh, and they're not cheap.
No.
Ooh.
Yeah, you owe money for the cow because they have free range laws.
Like what the farmer would get for the cow. Oh, my gosh.
You have to buy that whole cow if you hit it.
I would drive off.
That's it's a big crime. That's basically like a hit and run crime there.
I would never go back to that state.
Yeah.
It's all open range. That's
I thought I was going to die there driving over. Because when we did, it was like late at night. Late at night at Glacier Park. Like, you know, we were worried about animals and stuff running up there, like the mountain goats or whatever, and you're on these things. But like, I remember it was so foggy up there that we were there's no place to turn off, and we're driving already, and we're at the top. I had to open up the door to the car so I could see the line so I knew where I was.
Wow.
And so I'm driving, and that was like for like 3 miles that I was driving like this, so afraid another car was going to come near us before we got to see it, because we could not see more than like a foot or two in front of the car. It was a block of smoke at that point, you know.
And yet nothing told you to actually pull over and stop.
No, here's the problem: there was nowhere to pull over. The last place you could pull over was a little like a little rest stop peak area that was before the final part of it.
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't know. And so once you're up there, if you stopped, you could get slammed from the back.
Oh, that's, yeah.
So we were like, we could slam from the back, we can slam from the front, and right next to us is the, like, very thin rail that plunges you over down, you know, the bit. So your only choice is to keep going.
Wow.
You have to keep going or take a chance of getting hit. So it was just a slow... 5 miles an hour, but we're still just
why would anybody want to go to Montana?
We learned we didn't want to try to travel late at night.
There you go.
On those. Our fact checker came back, by the way. Sultan Cafe.
Oh, thank you, Del.
Sultan Cafe is one of the best breakfasts that I've ever had. Great donuts. So
nice.
If you ever have to go hiking, tell them you want to go to the lake.
There you go.
Tell your white woman.
Yep.
If you want to go, that's all our listeners.
There you go.
All our successful black women. Black listeners have a white woman with them. This is why this is a successful show, because so far we've only had white female guests.
Yes. We might have a black woman on the next one.
Maybe.
No.
Did you watch the Hobbit trailer?
Yeah, there are a couple of them. I watched both of them.
Well, they're both the same movie.
Yeah, but hello, you get different essences from each one.
Bilbo Baggins.
Manny, were you a Lord of the Rings fan at all?
Okay, here's the thing. I watched the first one, didn't like it, because it just felt like it was a long hike. That's what I felt. All right, I'm not going to lie.
Wow, you're drawing parallels I hadn't drawn before.
It was terrible. But I liked the second and the third one. I liked, those were good. It just, I didn't read the books, so, I didn't even know they existed before the movie, so.
Are you, what?
I know, I was one of those kids who, like.
You're like a fake nerd.
I am, but at the same time.
Are you like a movie nerd? Is that what it is?
I'm more of a movie nerd. Yeah, because reading's not one of my, I mean, reading's
Did
very.
Did you read comic books?
A little bit. I watched a lot of cartoons growing up. That was what raised me. Right? Like, Huckleberry Hound was, like, one of my favorites, and Snagglepuss.
So when you watch things, like, you're just like, for all you know, this is how it is. This exactly. is how the whole story was.
Yeah, even Harry Potter. I was like, are you serious? There's a book? So, okay, I knew there was a book, but I'm just saying, like, the movies, they said the book was
way
better.
So you never tried to read the books at all or anything?
You know what? I'm going to go home and read it tonight. I'll start. I'm going to start.
Yeah,
whatever.
Are.
50 Shades of Grey, I'll read that too. Silence. They're making a movie on that.
No, don't. That is Golden Girls erotic fiction.
Right,
don't
exactly. Oh. Maybe you can agree on this, okay? Like, okay, women complain about men watching porn, right?
Did I even catch that?
But I'm just saying, like, isn't 50 Shades of Grey
of
the same thing, right? Like a book club. You guys talk to each other about your porn.
Probably.
You know what I mean? And, like, I don't sit around with Silas. I'm like, did you see the latest episode of that dirty porno? I don't know. Like, Debbie does, I don't know.
It totally makes sense, though, doesn't it? Our guy's going to sit around talking about that? No,
maybe
it makes
we'll
sense
have
to
porno
me.
Club. The first rule about porno club.
No, you don't talk about
porno club.
You just wash. First rule about porno club is you wash your hands.
Exactly. Right? You wash your hands before you shake mine. Okay, that was our inappropriate moment. So, back to the books. Yeah, no, I was never a big reader growing up. And I don't know why.
Me either.
Yeah, I don't know why. But, I mean, now I read a lot more. And
what do you read?
I read a lot of autobiographies, and usually they're on comics or, you know, like a Bill Maher kind of thing, or, you know, just people who interest me and I, like, want to find out how they got to where they're at.
So, nonfiction stories about people you
exactly.
are interested in. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I read Charlie Murphy's, Paul Mooney's. They were pretty decent, so.
But as a comic, you're basically trying to be a writer.
Exactly.
So, you should read.
Exactly. No, it's so true. And I need to
write.
Yeah, I need
those
to.
Are
And I need to do a lot more creative writing also. I mean, that's the big thing is because I feel like there's a lot of writer's block, but you got to write through crap. You know what I mean? Like when you were writing the book,
mm-hmm.
like how difficult would you say the process was? Was there a lot of rewrites? And
Yeah. It's grueling, mm-hmm. actually. I had the book, what I thought was finished at 60,000 words, and mm-hmm. I looked at the whole thing and I thought, oh, great, it's done.
Yeah.
And then something in my mind completely flipped over and mm-hmm. I went, oh, I have to tell this story differently, and I basically scrapped the whole thing and started completely over. Yeah.
Jeez. That is amazing. That's more reason to go read the book.
But it's not... Is it more difficult to write nonfiction than fiction?
I just spent this last NaNoWriMo doing my very first piece of fiction,
mm-hmm.
and I think nonfiction is more difficult for a lot of reasons. But...
Is it because reality is less interesting?
No, it's because you have to follow the rules of telling your truth.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times did I flip what I was going to say in my novel versus, you know, you can go mm-hmm. anywhere with a novel. Yeah, and then she eats a feather, sure.
Yeah. But wait, so what makes the nonfiction harder?
Well, for one thing, there are 20 people in my book that I couldn't lie about. I actually had to represent them as the people that they are.
Yeah.
And so when I recalled them, of course I'm telling it from my point of view, but I had to represent people who are famous in their country, and one, because they're my friends, not slander them, and not represent them in a way that would offend anybody in their country. And then I had to tell the story of the things that I learned and how, I mean, there's so many ways that I could have pissed people off and
mm-hmm.
made it a story that was only interesting to me, and you know, the different angles that you have to tackle on.
It's so interesting that you say that because I feel that way with comedy. I mean, you can write a joke for you, but it's not really, you know, like
true.
Yeah,
it's so
and,
true.
Yeah, I mean, I've written plenty of jokes for me, and they're mostly gross. But then you write, you know, like the relationship bits, and you find your crowd liking it a lot more because they can relate to it. You know, and it's like when you're writing to the masses, I think that's kind of a. Well, maybe Silas disagrees.
I think, no, I don't. Last night, I think I finally sunk in
mm-hmm.
that I gotta not say something that occasionally that works. It really depends on the demographics of the audience, but
true.
I say one word mm-hmm. that pisses, that'll turn them.
Mm. Very true.
It's when I talk about, I say my daughter, you know, she's a souvenir from my first marriage. I say, my time in Bitchistan.
That's such a great line, though.
But when I say Bitchistan, sometimes you can visibly see a bunch of the women. Done with you.
Yeah.
Done with you. They do not like the word bitch.
You know what's interesting? There was, like, and I don't drink before I do shows anymore, but one time I got, like, I had one beer and I got tipsy, right? And I was like, I just started saying, I was like, and you bitches, and then I was like, you know what, ladies? And I am so sorry for saying bitches, and then they all started laughing, but it was like, I don't talk like that, and I mean, right. I grew up around women, so it's like...
And that's the thing, like, I don't think the rest of my set, I'm not very, insulting to people in general.
I think it's because you turn them one way.
I feel like sometimes that just, it turns them off. When I just say souvenir and I go on, usually I still have them, but I felt like I visibly lost a couple of them right then. Just
and you
word.
Think it was because of Bitchistan, not bitch- because of calling your daughter a souvenir.
No, that always gets a laugh.
Okay.
Yeah. No, Bitchistan though, so, oh, just,
yeah.
Man, sometimes. And sometimes, that's funny. And I say it because sometimes the guy, like there'll be enough guys in there that'll, oh, they just think that's awesome. They love that.
It's crazy though, but I have found, like you said though, it's like you gain their trust early on, like when you're sitting there. And then I remember like when I was first starting out, I had like a 9/11 joke that, you know, would get half laughs, half not, you know, and it's like you automatically flip them and they're like, I don't know if we can trust this guy. Should we laugh? Should we, you know, groan? And they don't know how to feel the rest of the show because it's like you've kind of, there's that thin line that we all walk and it's like kind of crossed.
And then when you say like, what's weird is like, then later on I have a joke that's way worse.
Yeah.
Horrible joke. And they die.
Exactly.
Laughing. And then you're like, really? People are you're fickle. Not offended by that, but you're offended that I said a form of bitch?
Yeah.
Why I was so careful to mention all the stuff that I would think would get them on my side before I say it.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that's really kind of impossible to offend. Mm-hmm. I don't offend. But you guys just talking now reminded me, I used to work at a comedy club.
Really? What? Yeah, hey, so now you bring this up. This
I know. It's one of those things.
Yeah, where were we at?
Minneapolis.
Which one?
The Rib Tickler.
Oh.
Which closed decades ago.
I thought that was a condom.
Very nice. No, but it was probably, 85, 86, something like that. And Paula Poundstone came in before she really broke big.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a bunch of just emerging people that are now giant, huge.
That's awesome.
Or were in our past their prime now. But crowds were so different then. I mean, I really feel for you guys because the crowds are so ruthless now. Back then, I remember, and she still does this last time I saw her anyway, whenever the crowd gets kind of rowdy or has a problem, you know, she invites them in. Mm-hmm. Oh, this just in, like it's a news thing.
And exactly.
Lets them go. And when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, that's so ballsy because they could just tear her apart right there. Mm-hmm. If you did that today, you would get torn apart. Yeah. So I know you guys are up against a lot more than they were 20, 30 years
ago. It's crazy. Like, have you noticed, like, there's certain rooms that will give you the opportunity to succeed. And then there's other ones that are just like, you got like 30 seconds to make me laugh or else it's not going to go well for the next 10.
You mean the black rooms?
Very. I didn't want to say it, but yes. Even you know what's interesting? Even the Persian room. I did like a Persian show.
Where?
The Parlor. You know
what?
What was that show?
You did
Persian night. It was I thought.
So you had Melissa Shoshani and
yeah.
That was it, right? There was no other.
Well,
comic.
No, it was these guys from TV. It was what was it? The Sunsets of or the Shaws of Sunset on Bravo or something like that. This guy Reza.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah. He so I did a show with him and like three other what we call Persian guys and then Kelsey Cook. So. Yeah, it's
Kelsey Cook.
Yeah, just out of nowhere. Yeah, to left him. Yeah. So we do the show. This guy Reza goes up. You know, they love him because he's on TV. Kelsey goes up. You know, she does pretty good, but you could tell that they're like, oh, a woman with opinions. You know, and I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. I was like, so this isn't gonna be too pleasant going up for me next. So I go up there, and right before I get on stage, one of the other comics is like, hey, whatever you do. Don't talk about your dick because Persians do not like that. And I was like, I'm not even going to do a dick joke. And so anyways, I get up there and I just, you know, I was just me.
And it went well, you know, but it's like, you could tell when I first got up there, they were like, who is this?
Who is this
Negro? Yeah, exactly. And Reza said something in Persian. He was like, oh, be careful. He's black. So they all, you know, they laughed before. But then I could tell, I was like, everybody was just looking at me like, all right, we're ready. Tell us a joke. And then I finally got him on my side, you know, but it's weird. Certain rooms will do that to you.
Yeah.
So
I want to ask you. We were talking right before you got here about the comedy festival idea.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. So let's break it down first. There is a site on Facebook. We have a local comics group, right? And it's just some of the most... Like, I never comment on it just because I'm like, these are... I'm not even going to say it. No, you know what? I don't care because I'm not on it anyways. And half the comics hate me. I don't care. But it's like, these guys, I don't know if they think before they say things, or it's just some of the most hateful stuff. And it's like, anytime somebody has an idea, somebody shoots it down. And it's just like, instead of helping each other and being like, hey, that's a great idea, let's see where we can go with it, everybody's like, no, that's a dumb idea, this is stupid. And I'm like, this is why we never move forward as a city. That's why I feel like Oregon's more successful with comics. I feel like LA is very progressive, but...
Really competitive groups like that. Well, photography is the same way.
Yeah.
You cannot talk to people in the same industry because you might be accidentally telling them something that would give them the leg up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, oh, my God, no.
What I don't get is, I mean, comedy, like a lot of other things, there's a lot of people that they're going to say something, but they're not going to do anything about it.
Exactly.
And so what I don't understand is, so someone says they, let's do the idea for a festival. Who's on board?
Which is a great idea.
And for someone to go, it's not going to work, do that, is like, don't even say anything. It's probably not going to, they're probably not going to do anything.
Yeah.
And so don't worry about it. They're not going to try.
Yeah.
But if they are, why would you stop them? Their idea is that, like, they're going to, like, oh, you're just going to fail. And it's going to, like, well, that doesn't hurt you. They're trying. Put something together. At least there's a momentum. And the thing is, like, when you look at all these entrepreneurs, and not to say that that idea is something like the same idea as Windows or something, you know? But, I mean, every business, there's always the people that tell them they're not going to do it or it's not going to work. I mean, that's what entrepreneurs do, is they end up making something happen.
Despite
the fact – I mean, how many of these comics have been told that comedy is a stupid profession to do? And then you're going to – crap on that, or someone to come on and say, well, you guys, first you need to learn how to make posters and brand before you do any of that. Like, you know what? I'm probably going to hire somebody if I do that. I'm not dumb. And I brought up the point, which got negated by everybody, that honestly, I think that a festival I would be able to sell tickets to easier than I could any random one-night show.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I
think it's a bigger event that people would go to. I think it'd be easier to solicit solicit advertising for and sponsors.
So is that out there right now? There's a group that's thinking of doing
somebody mentioned it, and there's a couple of people that are like, oh, that sounds like a good idea, and then a whole bunch of more experienced people who always crap on the ideas of the newer ones, which is
Do they offer, like, why it won't work, or are they just digging?
Well, they say stuff like, you can't, you know, learn how to book your own show well, or book a show well, and then start worrying about a festival. And the thing is, like, I run a room. It is a lot harder to book a show locally than it is, I think, a big event. Because, like, if we're going to do something like a Seattle festival, it's going to be, you'd bring in a lot of out-of-town people. That's just part of it. It becomes a national, international thing that people come in to do it.
And not only that,
and
but
honestly,
you've got journalists.
You're more likely to come in, you as a non-comic person, to come in and see someone from out-of-town than you are to see a local. Because a local, people always figure, oh, I can see that anytime.
Yeah.
Hold on. Actually, from an outsider's point of view, I see, oh, they brought somebody in from out-of-town. He must be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a local. Oh, he's just a local.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's part of what it is. And I think you're more likely to be covered by news people.
Exactly.
Yep.
Because it's this out-of-town, this festival that's starting up. I mean, not that they will, but I think you have a better chance than I'm deciding to book one of the theaters in town, I'm going to book the Jewel Box.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's up to me to try to bring in somebody to fit a 60-seat house and hope enough that I'm going to get, that I can hire somebody that's going to draw a name.
It's crazy.
I'm not. But if I do a festival, I might be able to draw in a whole bunch of people. or I come up with a clever name for a show, then I might be able to draw in people. But I just not on my...
Here's another thing, though, that people don't realize is that local, like, I don't care how good you are locally. You could be one of the best headliners we have. Even if you try to book out a show for 60, you know, 60 seats, they're like, well, I see this guy free every other night at an open mic. Why would I go pay to go see him do his hour over at this venue? You know what I mean? So it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I would pay to go see, like, a Derek Sheen, you know what I mean? Record his hour. You know, there's certain guys like a Ralph Porter that I would go see. But, you know, like, who cares about me? You know, nobody wants to go see me for, you know, an hour in front. Right. Yeah, you know?
Aw,
so,
don't say
that. Well, I'm just saying, like, I'm not at that point where it's like I'm, like, I mean, Jubal and, like, Jose have the radio now. So they have more of a draw, is where I just have the parlor behind me, which isn't the big, you know, it's probably one of the biggest clubs that we have, but nobody cares. Nobody's going to be like, oh, well, shoot, you know, we could see him host basically free every week.
See, you know, I've wondered sometimes with, like, a Jubal if people would be like, well, I listen to him every day on the radio. Why do I need to go pay to hear a show?
Here's another thing that's interesting, though, about that is that you have your listeners every day who, you know, hear you, but they hear you clean. They don't know that he's foul-mouthed when he gets, you know? And they're like, I was appalled. I didn't know that he swore, you know? And it's like,
that's a tightrope to walk.
Oh, it is. Like, even Kevin Nealon, who's like, you know, I worked with him last weekend. He was, you know, like, he swore a little bit. It wasn't too bad. But, I mean, you know, I'm sure that there was a couple people that were upset. They were like,
offended. I can't believe the guy from Weeds swore.
Yeah, exactly, because they still see that Saturday Night Live again. So,
I don't know. I love, and here's the thing. Everything that every big thing that happens always is started too by young people. You need the youth.
Exactly.
You need to not have been torn down by children and marriage. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a hard thing to do.
Someone young wants to do something, like, you do that. Start it.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna.
And here's the thing. Stop, like, and if there are any comics that are listening out there that are veterans, stop shooting down these young guys' ideas, because it's the new ideas that are going to keep this thing moving. I mean,
keep you employed,
definitely. I mean, there's guys like me who've kind of been doing it, what, 3.5 years, and still, like, we're supposed to be producing a show, and I'm just lazy with it, and, you know, it's like,
kick your ass.
Yeah, exactly. You should punch me in the throat after this.
Like, okay, and I've only been doing comedy a year and a half, and I was giving my opinions early on what should be doing, and people would shoot me down.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was saying earlier, I've been running a show a year now, and everybody who comes in gets money.
Yep.
I've made sure of that. So I didn't just talk the talk. I actually did it. I mean, I'm sure. I will say, Evan Morrison got $3 when he came once.
Fair enough.
But it was a low show. Hey, but you know what? The thing that he always mentioned. Here's the thing that he told me.
Yeah.
As many shows as he does, as many shows as he hosts, it's still the only money he's made.
Wow.
I'm the only one who's paid him.
Wow.
And it was $3.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you should be getting paid.
Yeah.
How am I getting all this money?
Mm-hmm.
You have some great jokes.
Yeah.
But I've set it up, and I'm working it. So I'm making sure everyone's coming in and getting money, because that's one thing they demanded, and, you know, the new guys would do. And I'm like, I know to do that. Mm-hmm. And so
it's just that our scene is so overly saturated sometimes with comics that it's like, it's hard to be seen amongst 200, you know, comics. I mean, you rise to the top. I'm surprised that I've even gotten where I'm at. So like,
we're all surprised you've
thank
to
you. Yeah, exactly. Right. I'm like, how does he have that job?
By the way, last night I was at a show. Was that Valhalla over there?
Matt featuring. Black show.
Put your phone
right
down
in my neighborhood. Over.
Sorry, I'm just making sure that. Okay, put it down. Put it down.
Right. So I was at the show last night, and Matt Black. This relates to you.
Oh, okay.
Matt Black's like, I don't know. I don't know if Manny's mad at me or something. I'm like, why? And it's like, well, I sent him a message, and he hasn't got back to me. And I sent him on Facebook, too. And I was like, oh, well, you must be doing a podcast with him or something.
I'm terrible about it.
I sent him the same message like 3 days in a row. In between, I sent another message he replied to. Still wouldn't answer the same question. And then all of a sudden today, like an hour and a half before the show, he answers that unrelated question. I'm like, okay. But you're going to be here in an hour, right? Like, oh, yeah. Like, why didn't you just wait an hour?
Yeah.
You've already waited 3 days to respond to this.
I'm terrible. Like, who else do I need to get back to? John Barnes. One of my good friends. I got to get back to him. And it's just, I don't know why. I'm so. Well,
maybe it was John. Actually, I think it was John.
It is John.
That.
Okay.
Yeah, it was John. It wasn't Matt.
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
Fuck Matt Black.
Yeah.
You look at your email inbox, don't you? And you go, oh, not that one.
Well, no, yeah, exactly. You know what's funny? Like, I'll look at it. But it's just like I'm so consumed with work, you know, and like then I'm at the gym and then I'll try to do an open mic. And you're just trying to find time in between. And, so I try to, like, write it in the car while I'm driving. And it's – no, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That's not safe. But, it's hard. I mean, just to – you know, I just need to – I got to get my laptop working again. It's just – it crashed. So, I mean, I need to actually dedicate, like, an hour to just sitting there responding to emails and texts.
I would try to – I'd be sensitive to it when I was unemployed because I'd send messages. And other people have jobs.
Tell me about it. Respond. Tell me about it. I call it – the black hole that emails go into. Oh. I have entire weeks where I
text message.
I don't text.
You don't text.
I still pay per text.
Oh really?
How sad is that?
Oh my goodness. She looks so young and just yet.
With the mentality I'm older than both of you.
Oh whatever. Still beautiful though. Yeah, but no, seriously, it's like yeah. There's certain weeks though. It just you feel like it's harder to, and especially with kids, you know, it's got to be just another thing to try to respond to every text and every email. And so, or I guess every email. Sorry, no text. But, you know, it's like, do you ever have weeks like that when you were working?
The
other job.
I'm never a good worker, so yeah. It's always been easy for me to respond to
things.
I
don't know if my boss is listening to this, so I don't want to sound like responding to stuff.
Hey, you know what? Good, you had a good employee there because he doesn't respond to my freaking text. He's working. I do have that, and now that I have an actual job that I really care about and love, and that even they may be listening.
Yeah.
And I love the job.
Yes, temporary. Grateful for it.
A writing job. It's amazing.
It's so awesome. Get to write. To be employed in writing is... Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah. You lucky people. You
self-conscious. Right. Self-conscious. I'm like, is this okay?
And you've been doing it for how long? How long have you been doing this job?
3 days.
All right, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Wow.
So talk to me in 2 weeks.
Well, yeah. No, I understand. It's going to be... but... Here's the, I mean, it's web. I'm a web producer, so I'm also going to be putting stuff on the site. I'm editing other people, so it's not strictly going to be just the writing part. But then I get to create. Here's the thing, I'm not getting yelled at this job for things that are ridiculous. You're not getting screamed at.
Isn't that nice?
My house, so it's a good environment. You know, yeah. Played ping pong yesterday. Mm-hmm. Doing it.
Like what a real job kind of should be, really.
What
could be like a good environment? Not all of those things that you just
a good environment.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the first time, this will be the first year in like 10 years that I don't have to worry about retail at Christmas time.
Oh, God, that is the best feeling.
Because right now I'm just like, well, you might just be sitting in there writing all day. I'm like, yeah, but I get to like leave at 5 and
let's go around the table real quick and say what your crappiest job was. Silas, you go first.
It was working at this wine store. They just treated you horribly.
Yeah.
They were really bad, treated people poorly everywhere. That's why they have such a high turnover there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the worst. As much as I felt past places could have, performed better, like, mm-hmm. this people could not work and function there. You never saw a place before that when, the couple managers that, because they own, because they're the owners too, the daughters of the owners. When they leave, everyone's happy, smiling, and things are going on and running much smoother than when they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say anything. You know, it's like it's their place. What can you,
yeah.
And then you say something. You know, you talk back to them, but they scream at you, and it's like, God, I was like,
yeah,
out of there.
I sort of had two, but I guess one was worse than that. Well, I was a soccer referee when I was 13, and like getting cursed out by like parents is never.
What?
Yeah, like I had like those booty shorts that were really high and like.
Called the N word?
Yeah. No, I wasn't. It was in the Bay Area, so everybody else
they would have died.
Yeah. Exactly. Somebody would have got shot on the field. But it was great. That was like, I hated that job. I mean, I made money, but it was like whatever. But the worst of all time was working at this clothing store, which was like an urban clothing store. It was called. Can we say that on? Yeah, we can say it. It doesn't matter. Whatever. It's just a true story.
I'll bleep it.
There you go. So when I worked there, let me just give you the visual. It's like a black clothing store run by a little Asian man who like he bought cheap ripoff everything, right? So it wasn't like the real brand of stuff. So we had South Pole. We had these LED like belt buckles that like read stuff across it. We had like lighters that were like belt buckles. You pull it off, it's a lighter. They made me follow black people around the store and, like, watch everybody. They made me unload trucks, do janitorial. They paid you $40, like, minimum wage, for the first 40 hours, and they paid you under the table for the next 40 hours that you worked. So it was like the most illegal operation. It was just wild to me, and it was like slave labor. It was insane. So I worked there for about 3 months, and the girl I was dating at the time, this was like 3 years, she ended up having an affair with the manager there, and he had like cancer and lived at home with his aunt, and he smoked. I was like, dang, this is some Jerry Springer shit.
Wait, she had an affair?
Well, it was so we were together.
Yeah. And she was cheating on you with
the manager.
The manager
who
had cancer?
Who had cancer, was Asian, and had like a mustache from like the 70s.
Was he rich?
No. He lived at home with his mom or his aunt. I was like, dang, that's when you hit rock bottom. And you're like, I started thinking, I was like, I need to start doing crack. I know, I didn't even treat her. Well, maybe. No, I didn't do it. Like, it was like, you know, it's like after 3 years, you don't really get along anyways. I mean, that's most relationships. I mean, you probably don't like your husband that much, right? It's like, it's gotta be like, but it was wild though. It was like, you know, as a young dude, this is like your first serious relationship. I was like devastated.
How long have you been with your girlfriend now?
Let's see, we're fighting right now. So yeah, it's crazy. I don't, you know,
3 years,
two and a half. Yeah. So we'll see if we work this out, but shit, it's wild though, man. It's, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm a damaged human being. Most comics are.
I need to hang with more comics. You guys are making me feel great.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You're like, my life is all right.
I'm scouring my brain during both of you guys talking, going, yeah, I've never done retail, so you guys are both way ahead of me.
I think I met you in retail.
Technically, no. Not called retail. It's direct sales.
Direct sales.
Yes, direct sales. I didn't have to stand in a store. I wasn't party to random people who walked in. Lucky. And
just
I didn't
to the
have
random
to stock
people
anything.
Who were invited. To the...
That's true, but usually they had wine and cheese in them. So
she sold candles.
Oh, yeah, really? I did. There you go. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
And you know,
cool.
That wasn't a bad job. I never made any money at it. I had a blast.
There you go.
I remember you telling me you were making, sounded like you were making money.
I was selling a lot of damn candles.
Yeah. It was good.
Awesome. But that, I mean, it didn't even register on. No, that one's. Yeah. That one. I learned so much from that job. I learned a lot about what I didn't want to do.
Was that direct sales?
Direct sales. That would be direct sales. But no, I was in the restaurant business for 8 years. And you see a lot of things. I did everything from line cook to waitress to cocktail.
Was that the comedy club?
Do you guys, the comedy club?
Wait,
you guys
no, was that the comedy club? The 8 years?
I was at about 12 or 14 different places in those 8 years, some of them at the same time. There was a time when I was working 3 different restaurant jobs and going to college.
I just feel nauseous. I feel like you're going to tell us a story about somebody spinning food or just doing all kind of like
No. Okay, so the high end of the bar is I worked at a high-end French bistro with this really just total bastard of an owner from France, and he drove a sweet little MG, and he'd park it right in the middle of the road and on the street. Nobody else could park there, or he'd actually have them towed out so he could have that spot. He was that kind of person. And he ran this really tight, really high-end restaurant where you'd get 3 scallops on a plate, each with a salmon egg and then the little drizzle of whatever it is, and that was your main course. And so I'm serving these kind of meals in the middle of downtown area of Minneapolis. Loved it. It was a great job, except whenever somebody accidentally broke a plate or dropped a glass or something, he would yell at the entire staff, and it would come out of your paycheck. It's the only place I ever was where they would actually pull the cost of the plates out of your paycheck. And so we were all on eggshells all the time. Ooh. You could not make a mistake. But the payoff for that was, and this is college, so you have to remember that, we would, as soon as a plate would come back from the main tables that hadn't been completely consumed, we're all over it. Like,
right.
Oh, I get that scallop.
That's awesome.
And it's, I know, it's just, it was sad. But the food was so good, you could not do it. And then on the far other end of that, I was a cocktail waitress at Stuart Anderson's, Black Angus, it's called here. Okay. So Stuart Anderson's was called in the Midwest, and I had to wear one of those stupid little skirts that went halfway down my thigh, and the, you know, the, what are those called? The halter tops that tie right under the chest. And what, it's stupid. Oh, my God.
Do you have any pictures of those?
And serve $3 Long Island iced teas. And, you know, they were 30-ounce Long Island iced teas. So a whole lot of shit-faced people.
Wow.
And yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, yeah. And I can tell you my favorite restaurant story if you want to.
Yes.
I also worked the graveyard shift at Country Kitchen, Perkins type, 24-hour Denny's type of place.
Okay.
And we had regulars come in all the time. They'd come from the bars, and we'd serve them their post-bar food, and then they'd stagger not quite so drunk home as they staggered in.
Yeah.
And one of the regulars one night, I was probably 19, and he was probably 40, 35, something like that. And I said, do you want coffee? I'm holding my pot in one hand and cup in the other. So my hands are tied up. And he goes, no, I want that, and poked me right in the crotch.
What? Crazy.
The weirdest thing. Did it work?
Is that a new pickup line?
I'm learning so much today.
You know what it worked? It worked for him to get hot coffee in his crotch.
Nice. Yeah. There you go.
Payback is a bitch.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. Yeah, so that's my worst restaurant story.
God, ever. That is crazy. Like, the audacity of some people to think that that's just okay. Like, ugh.
You know what it's called?
You know what?
It's the audacity of hope.
Fair enough.
Erica Kalmenke.
Yes.
Author, photographer, and editor and founder of the Seattle Backpackers magazine.
I'm one of the officers.
One of the officers? Is that a founder?
Technically, yeah.
So why'd you correct me?
You're wrong, Silas.
I hate to take that from the actual founder, who's my business partner. So he had everything all together for 3 or 4 years, but didn't do anything with it until he brought me on board. Oh.
I like founders. Yeah. Like Star Trek.
There you go.
Did you watch that?
Which one?
Deep Space Nine?
I didn't watch Deep Space Nine.
You know, when I asked Star Trek, I shouldn't have asked you further, because if you didn't know who the founders are, you clearly didn't know. Did you watch Star Trek?
Next Generation. I was a big fan of Next Generation.
There you go.
No DS9.
Picard.
No, Picard's my guy. Yeah.
That'll always be. Him and Kirk. Those are the two that really matter.
Yeah.
Did you watch the show?
Yeah, like me and my dad. Like, I remember back in the 80s and early 90s, we would watch reruns of, like, you know, the original, like, nonstop. And then we would watch, you know, Next Generation. That was like for Halloween one year. I was dressed up like
Next Generation was.
Oh, it was
amazing. Ran constantly in my house for like 5 years, 6 years.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Worf, like with that thing on his head. I was like, he looks like a ball sack. That's gross.
That has never occurred to me.
Manny, two things I know now. One, you're like a pseudo geek.
Yes.
And two, I do not ever want to see your balls.
But you didn't know that before that comment?
It's always been questionable.
He was like, hey, you know, I might want to see that.
Black and a half?
Black and a half. Ready for action, nip it in the bud. We never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting. Not clashing, not at all. But see, my nigga went to do it.